invite forward the Rices and Tim and Kay Jackson. And if the children of the congregation would like to witness the baptism, they can come to the center aisle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. "Therefore, depart, you unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Amen. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his hosts in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Tucker Bennett, according to your boundless mercy, and bless him with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in him, which has been inherited from Adam, and which he himself has committed since, would be drowned and die. Grant that he be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian Church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and serving your name at all times, with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, he would be declared worthy of eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, from ancient times the Church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates to assist parents in the responsibility of raising children in the faith. Tim and Kay, you are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. You are to serve as witnesses of Tucker's baptism. You are to pray for him every day, support him in his ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage him towards the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. Finally, you are at all times to be an example to him of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. Tim and Kay, is it your intention to serve Tucker Bennett as sponsors in the Christian faith? Then say yes with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
God enable you both to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with his grace, fulfill what we are unable to do. Hear the word of the Holy Gospel. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
henceforth and even forevermore. Amen. Now the congregation may be seated. Children, you can stay here. And as you witness this baptism, take hold of your own baptism and your daily return to the cross by again renouncing the devil and confessing faith in his body and God. Tucker Bennett, do you renounce the devil?
Yes.
I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes.
I renounce them.
Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes. I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting?
Yes, I believe.
Tucker Bennett, do you desire to be baptized?
Yes, I do.
Tucker Bennett, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting.
Amen.
Please stand for prayer. Almighty, most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family, and have granted Tucker Bennett the new birth and holy baptism, and made him a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as he has now become your child, you would keep him in his baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, he may faithfully lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Peace be with you. We'll return to the week. Children, you may return to your seats. We continue with the intro on page 2.
Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you.
He will never permit the righteous to be moved.
Give ear to my prayer, O God,
and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy.
For it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it.
It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me. Then I could hide from him.
But it is you, a man, my equal.
My companion, my familiar friend.
We used to take sweet counsel together.
Within God's house we walked in the throng.
But I call to God.
And the Lord will save me.
Thank you. merciful God, cleanse and defend your church by the sacrifice of Christ. United with him in holy baptism, give us grace to receive with thanksgiving the fruits of his redeeming work and daily follow in his way. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Martyr's Tide is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own mind, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy lies? And who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word.
My eyes long for your promise. I ask, when will you comfort me?
For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke. Yet I have not forgotten your statutes.
How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me?
The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your law.
All your commandments are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me.
They have almost made an end of me on earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts.
In your steadfast love, give me life, that I may heed the testimonies of your mouth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. The reading from the letters is from the letter to the Hebrews, the 11th and the 12th chapters. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on in one house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, a shower is coming. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O
Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from the Old Testament reading, Jeremiah chapter 23. I'd like to read a portion of it for you again. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? This is our text. Allow me to set the stage for a minute. The year 600 BC. The place, the land of Judea. In world affairs, large powers threaten to swallow small nations. Corruption stains both religious and political rulers. The poor suffer, and the rich prosper in an economy on the brink. And as for God's people, my people have committed two evils, declares the Lord. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They've been looking for life in all the wrong places. My people have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. The diagnosis is bleak. Spiritual dehydration. They've hewed out broken cisterns that can hold no water. Their home remedies have only made it worse. My people have forsaken me. If it goes untreated much longer, it'll prove fatal. They've hewed out broken cisterns. Welcome to the days of Jeremiah the prophet. In those days they said, it shall be well with you. In those days they said, no disaster shall come upon you. Peace, peace, was what they proclaimed. Even to those who despised the word of the Lord, even to the one who stubbornly follows his own heart. And you know what? Peace and well-being is what the people wanted to hear. Why? Because they had itching ears. Itching ears is not a rash or an infection, though it probably is contagious. It's a dangerous spiritual condition. And the people of Judea had it. For the time is coming, St. Paul wrote to Timothy, when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And they'll turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. It wouldn't be the first time. It had already happened in the days of Jeremiah, and we should be ready for it to happen in our own days as well. And that language St. Paul uses there, they will accumulate for themselves teachers. not just one, but a lot of them, teaching what their itching ears want to hear. In this setting and context, here is what the prophet Jeremiah proclaims. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. To the people of that day, and I would say to us as well, the question is, which word will they believe? Will they believe that they're fine, that everything is good, and there's no danger of disaster, and no one needs to repent? Or will they believe the guy, Jeremiah, who told them that they better get ready, because Babylon is coming and there will be 70 years of exile, so repent right now? I know which one I'd rather believe. Of course, they'd rather believe that everything will be fine. It'll all wash over. No problems, no dangers, and don't worry about repentance. Now, I'm not saying to you that Babylon is coming, and I'm not saying that there will be 70 years of exile. I'm not Jeremiah. What I am saying is that the conditions are similar. We live among a people who despise the word of the Lord and think that everything will be okay. We're taught by culture and society to stubbornly follow our own hearts and make peace with sin. We don't want to be told that there's anything wrong with us, or with how we're living, or with what we're doing, or with where we're headed. So it sounds good when we're told, it shall be well with you, and no disaster shall come upon you, and peace, peace. It sounds great. The problem was, in Jeremiah's day, that it wasn't true. Those were lies. They were made up, deceptive visions and false dreams. They didn't come from the Lord. They were the thoughts, the ideas, and even the fiction of lying prophets who kept saying, it's all going to be okay, even though it wasn't. It was two spoonfuls of sugar and no medicine. I know we want to hear that everything's going great and everything's going to be fine and there's no danger out there, but it isn't true. It simply isn't true. It can be hard to hear these strong words of God. It can be hard to hear his word coming like a fire and a hammer. But sometimes that's what we need to hear. The Lord has words for those false prophets. Maybe it wasn't quite this direct, but basically his words to them are, shut up. Stop telling lies. There are so many lies out there, and we are too eager to hear them, too eager to latch on the next thing or the greatest thing, any word that will make us feel better, even if it's not the word of the Lord. But the question is this: the ones who say those things, have they been listening to him? Do they have any idea what he's up to? Do they have his word? Because if they don't, then we need to just turn it off and forget about it. The last thing we need is prophets like that. Prophets to make us feel good. What we need is the truth, even if it hurts. We need strong medicine. We may not want to think about God, the God that Jeremiah proclaims, because Jeremiah proclaims a God who's not a tame God. He can't be kept in a cage or contained in an aquarium. There's that sort of mysterious phrase where God says, am I a God who is near and not a God who is far off? By which he means, do you think you can keep me right here and contain who I am and what I have to say? Our God is strong and fierce, fire and hammer, like love often is. What kind of love is it to let disaster overtake someone unannounced? What kind of love is it to leave a person in his or her sin? What love is it to see someone careening over a cliff and just pat them on the back and tell them that it'll all be okay? If you ask God, that's a sick kind of love. He has real love, deep, fierce, fire and hammer love for you and for me, but it is a love with zero tolerance for sin. When we sin, when we go astray, when we listen to a false voice, he doesn't say, it'll be okay. He has zero tolerance for those who lead people away from him and into sin. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Fire and hammer. Dangerous tools. But sometimes they're needed to get the job done. Sometimes you need a fire, and sometimes you need a hammer. This is God's thunderbolt. By the law, he strikes down both the obvious sinners and false saints. He declares no one to be in the right. So where is it in your life today that you need his fire to burn and his hammer to fall? Where is the sin in your life that needs to be consumed by his purifying and smashed to pieces, like a broken rock? I do want to be clear when God speaks of his word like a fire and a hammer. His word is not out to destroy you, but it is out to destroy your sin and death and the devil. They are meant to purify and to crush our sin. So let our ears be open to hear his word. And lay your heart bare, hiding nothing from him, because he sees it anyway. Bring it to him and say, Lord, bring the fire and bring the hammer, because that's what I need. I need your law to crush what is not true and what is not right and what is not good. Everything that is unholy and impure in my life. Don't just tell me it's going to be okay. Set me free from the bondage of sin and death and the devil. I want to fast forward from the days of Jeremiah, 600 years, still in the land of Judea, where a man speaks to his disciples and says, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. A man who, when he said that the days were coming when he would be handed over to the Gentiles, when he would suffer and be crucified, one of his disciples said, no, of course not, Lord. It will be well with you. No disaster will befall you. Peace, peace. And he said, I did not come to make that kind of peace. I came to make war, to bring the fire and the hammer against sin. And he is longing and desiring for that fire to be kindled and to undergo the baptism that he came to be baptized with. And what is Jesus speaking about? He is speaking about his own cross. He is speaking about the fire of God's wrath consuming him. He is speaking about the hammer of judgment putting the spikes into his wrists and his feet. He did not come to tell us that everything would be okay with our sin, or with death, or with Satan and hell. He came to make everything right through his own suffering, death, and resurrection. The fire and the hammer are not enough. We need, along with the fire and the hammer, the cross. For that is where our sin has been crucified with Christ. That is where God's fire consumed all that is wrong with us. That is where the hammer fell to break our fallen natures. He was baptized into that so that we could be baptized into his salvation, like Tucker was this morning. Baptized into not everything will be well and peace, peace where there is no peace, but baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. That is what we need. Over the last few weeks, I've been reading from a book of Martin Luther's letters. It's called Luther's Letters of Spiritual Counsel. And I've been struck by what he tells to people who are sick or dying or bereaved or despairing. Luther never writes to them and says, you know, it's all going to be okay. He writes knowing the reality of death and of suffering and illness and depression and anxiety. But he says, there is a man who suffered and died to be with you in these things. Am I a God near and not a God far off? And the answer is, he is both. Because the God who was far off has come near to us in Jesus Christ. We don't just need a Band-Aid. We don't need someone to say it's going to be okay. We need him and all that he has done. We need Jesus Christ and the forgiveness, life, and salvation that he brings. The season of the church year that we're in, we're calling Martyrs' Tide. We remember the martyrs of the church, those who died confessing Christ. There were people who told the martyrs, no disaster will befall you if you turn away from Christ. Peace, peace, if you simply do what we tell you. And the faithful martyrs who went before said, we will not have peace at that price. We will have peace only through the blood of Christ. And they were willing to lay down their lives and to sacrifice themselves to the fire and to the hammer, knowing that one had gone before them who made a way through death into the life of the world to come. Consider our Lord, who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. There is peace, and there is hope, and it is the peace and hope that is found in Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, reigning, and coming again soon. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us that with good and honest hearts we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. Lord, in your mercy. We humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love toward others increased, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest, and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people, and the gospel preached in all the world. Lord, in your mercy. Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this Commonwealth, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure, to maintain righteousness, and to hinder and punish wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Bless our homes and families, and be with all expectant mothers, including Rachel and Stephanie. Bless our college students, especially Lars, John, Valerie, and Garrick, and those pursuing further education or certifications, that whatever they do would be done to you and in service to their neighbors. Sustain in body and soul all those who are unemployed, underemployed, or seeking new work, that they may earn a just wage, serve others, and find the contentment you promise. Lord, in your mercy. Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, chronic illness and pain, or any other adversity, especially Luann and Karen's mother Louise as she undergoes hip surgery, Rachel in her postpartum recovery, as well as Diane, Marilyn, Lori, Hope, Julian, Jared, Donna, John, Lori, and Evan, Donna, Mary, Dale, Bruce, Kay, and Dave and Janet. Lord, in your mercy. Although we have deserved your righteous wrath and punishment, yet we ask you, O most merciful God, not to remember the sins of our youth nor our many transgressions. Out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger to body and soul. Preserve us from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all, especially to those who believe. Lord, in your mercy. Receive our bodies and souls and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring you. For by his blood, your Son has purchased us to be your own, that we may live under him in his kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. These and whatsoever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 46, a psalm of thanks. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains trembling with its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of our Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the chariot with fire. Be still. I know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our fortress. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have refreshed us with the body and blood of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that this heavenly food which we have received will strengthen our faith, that we bear all crosses, sicknesses, and trials with patience and trust until you grant us deliverance, peace, and health. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you